Welcome to Core Rituals. This week, empty disc, the magic variable, part one. The questions this cast answers are, what is the magic variable? Why does adaptability matter so much? And how do I adapt? A recent LinkedIn Learning report outlined 93% of organizations are concerned about employee retention. And of note, this was the second highest priority for CEOs. And not surprising, the top two training topics are leadership and management. We feel privileged to have helped thousands of managers across the globe with our guidance. But there's thousands of managers we haven't reached yet, and some of them may be in your organization. If that is your organization, contact Maggie to learn how Manager Tools can bring effective manager training to you on site or virtually. If you have a group of 15 to 30, this is where you can lower your dollar cost per manager. You get an annual license with so much supporting material. You can choose your date of delivery and have some customization. We teach those behaviors which improve results and retention. For more detail, contact Maggie at manager-tools.com. One of the most common questions we hear when people first learn about empty disc and actually any what they class as a psychological tool or psychological profile, although that's not what disc is, but what people first want to know is, well, out of the ones I could be, which one's best? Because everyone wants to be the best one. And the answer is none of them, because it depends on the situation. And what's more, there is a magic variable, and it was better to have the magic variable than it is to have any one single ones of the profile. That's the difference between people that are effective using empty disc and people who are not. And the magic variable, just in case you don't want to listen to the next however long it takes us to explain it, is adaptability.
Yeah. So our outline for this cast is very simple. Make adaptability your goal. And then adapt verbally, vocally, and visually. And we'll talk more about what those mean. So that's it. We want to make adaptability our goal. In empty disc, and really in any communication framework, what's most important is not understanding your tendencies. It's not even understanding other people's tendencies, although those things are both really important. What's important is your willingness to change behaviors to adapt to the given situation. So that's more important than being or behaving in any of the four quadrants, if you're familiar with DISC.
So let's explain what empty DISC is before we go on, just for those people who don't. So empty DISC is a communication framework. If you go to the Manager Tools website, you can purchase a profile and you'll be sent 28 questions. And the 28 questions measure your natural inclination in two fundamental tendencies: your level of assertiveness versus your level of reservedness, and your level of affinity for working with others. So some of us are, like Andrew and I are assertive in that we are louder, we speak faster, we interrupt everyone, we want to be moving all of the time, we're fast when we communicate. We tend to communicate in shorter sentences. High eyes have more of them, but, you know, shorter sentences, less explanation, just, you know, I'm the one who sends emails that say done because I'm moving on. And then there's other people who, at the outward, what you see of them is they speak more slowly, they speak more quietly, their gestures are smaller, they're just sort of more contained. Those people are reserved people.
I like to tell groups that if you're assertive, you're more interested in putting information out.
Yes.
If you're reserved, you're more interested in getting information in. You're assessing, analyzing, observing, right? Not.
That's a good point.
Yeah, that's how I like to think of it.
Yeah, I love that. Okay, and then the other axis is affinity for working with others. So some of us like to work in a group with other people. Some of us like to work on our own. Mm-hmm. My dad was describing one of the people he volunteers with yesterday, and he says he gets his chainsaw, and he says, don't worry, everybody, I'll do the roadway, you can just do the rest. And then he disappears down the road to do the hedge. And he's doing work. He just doesn't want to do it with the rest of the group. Which, seeing as he's supposed to be managing the group, is not great. But it's not that he's skiving off or slipping out of work. He just doesn't want to work in the group.
Yeah.
So that these two axes give us four profiles. So the D is assertive and task-focused. I is assertive and people-focused. S is reserved and people-focused. And C is reserved and task-focused.
Yep. And we think of that as kind of going around a circle.
Around a circle.
In clockwise form, going D, I, S, and C.
And there's a million, maybe not a million, there is a lot of podcasts on the website about DISC and how it works and what to understand from your profile, how to deal with different situations. But this one, we're particularly going to talk about adaptability.
And if you're listening to this and you have taken MT-DISC and you have a profile, we're going to be talking about the profiles individually. We may touch on some of the combination profiles, but we have other casts on combination profiles. It would be a very long podcast if we covered all of this and all the different permutations of combination profiles. So we may touch on them. I have kind of an odd combination profile, so I might, you know, share some experiences that I've had, but there is a lot of other information out there that we have for combination profiles. So if you're a DC, some of this will resonate more when we talk about D's, and some of it will resonate more when we talk about C's. Know that your tendencies are more on, if you're a DC, being more task focused,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes being assertive, sometimes being reserved, so on and so forth.
There is such a common impulse, once you know about the four styles, to try and match them to specific situations where one profile or another would seem to be preferable. I see this in hiring a lot. People say, should I take people's MT-DISC before I hire? And then I can make sure that my accountant is a high C who's interested in accuracy and completeness and so on. And the answer is no, because that's not what it's designed for. And besides, you can have other profiles and still be a great accountant. High I's have never met someone who they're not friends with. They're friends with the 10 people who they met in the Starbucks line this morning. And so it's said that they make better salespeople, except they don't. Because if you're selling to a high C doesn't want all that hoopla that a high I comes with. A high C would be better selling to a high C salesman. There isn't any evidence to say any one particular profile does better in any one particular job. What the evidence shows is that those who are most successful are the ones who are most adapted to their environment, not the ones who are most naturally suited to it. It's the adaptation that's important.
That's such a great point, because there are certain jobs that no one has a natural tendency to mm-hmm. do that thing. And so if you were only hiring people who have those natural tendencies, no one has a natural tendency for certain jobs, right? It makes sense logically to try to want to put people in positions where they can be the most successful in mm-hmm. terms of hiring.
Absolutely.
Totally makes sense. And this is something where we would say, or what I tell people is, you can absolutely use DISC or some of these other, you know, psychological tests to inform your decision or to inform the process. All I would take from that is just when you're interacting with that person is look for those things, look for those tendencies. And then where it really comes down to is ask questions or look for behaviors that prove that they can adapt mm-hmm. into and away from their natural tendencies. Because I don't want to hire someone who is naturally good at, I'm just going to make something up here, which is probably not a good idea to do on the spot on the podcast, but I may not have someone who's naturally good at driving a forklift, but I would love to ask questions about someone's experience learning how to operate pieces of machinery. And if they've learned how to do it and can demonstrate proficiency, that's more important to me than me getting a sense that they naturally love driving forklifts and that's just who they are as a person.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when you meet someone and you say, I clicked with them, or it was really easy to be friends with them, or I was immediately, I felt like we'd known each other forever. It's probably because you have at least one and probably two of the axes in common. Mm-hmm. Because that immediate rapport is based on the fact that you approach situations in the same way. So if you have to put up a shelf in your house, I think I'm going to put up a shelf, and I then go to Lowe's and buy a shelf, and then I come home and I realize I don't have any of the right screws, so then I go back to Lowe's. Because I don't think of the problem all the way through, I just think about the next step. If my dad's here, we have an 18-point plan, and we do all of the plan, and then we think about going to Lowe's. You know, we just approach those two situations in different ways, and we have a different kind of instinct for what do I need to do.
That's such a good point. If Wendy's talking to someone that she doesn't talk to very often, or she just is meeting them, and for some reason what seems to be the topic of conversation is putting up this shelf, and she says, yeah, I ended up having to go to the home improvement store four times to get the things. If she's talking to a high C, that's going to be like nails on a chalkboard. They're going to say, why?
Why?
Why wouldn't you just think through the process first and figure it out? Whereas different profiles are going to react differently to that story. But that's a perfect example of how sometimes you click and sometimes you don't, because you're conveying information that, again, to them is contrary or different to the way they would approach or look at a situation. It's a great point.
So, you know, if you have two high Ds waiting for a meeting to start, they are both approaching that waiting period by thinking about the list of tasks that have to be completed. And they're thinking, if we start late, we're not going to get everything done. And we have to get everything done. So we're going to have to just move quickly. And that's what they're thinking. And so one of them says under their breath, or, you know, on the back channel to someone else, can we just start already? They connect because they're having that same thought of like, we've got to get a lot done. We're going to need to go fast. We need to start.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that you can only communicate well with those people if you have the same profile. It means that if you want to communicate well with them, you have to have in your head what they're thinking about and what that means. You know, I have had this problem in the past where I've said something and I think it means one thing, especially on email, and somebody else thinks it means something else. And somebody will call me later and say, did you mean that? Or, were you being sarcastic? Or, you know, what was that, a snarky comment? And I'd be like, no, I'm genuinely meant it as a supportive comment or whatever. And it's just because I approach that situation and I communicate about that situation differently to other people.
Yeah. I mean, a simple example is, since we're talking about, you know, sitting in a meeting or waiting for a meeting to start, starting a meeting, saying to the group, it's 8:00, we're going to get started, and going into the agenda. If you have high Ds in the audience, they are in their minds applauding, going, yes, finally, someone who knows how to start meetings around here, right? And you're going. Now, if everyone's not there, I guarantee you have high S's that are in the crowd that are going, oh, but what about Sarah? Where's Sarah? Is anyone, I mean, are we considering Sarah? Like, that's a real thing, right?
Uh-huh.
Now, the right answer is start the meeting on time. And just know that sometimes your behaviors have different effects on different people because of that.
Success with MT Disc takes three things: the knowledge of your own preferences, the ability to establish what someone else's profile is, and then the ability or the willingness, or both, to adapt your communication to their style. And the first two are easy. Mm-hmm. Like, having knowledge of yourself is easy. You take the profile. It's $30. It takes you less than 30 minutes. You answer 28 questions, it tells you, and you read it and you think, that's exactly me. Or you think, that's not me, and you show it to your spouse and they say, yes, that's you. Mm-hmm. So that's easy. Being able to assess what someone else's profile is fairly easy when you've been trained to do it. We have podcasts that tell you how to do it. And if you want to go to the Effective Communicator Conference, we'll teach you how to do it and give you exercises and prove that you can do it to yourself. Those two are easy, but most people miss the fact that it's adaptation that makes all the difference to your relationships. The knowledge is one thing, but adapting it is putting it into practice.
Absolutely. That magic variable of adaptability is the skill that allows you to connect with anyone, no matter their profile, and work to successfully get your message across to an audience, to an individual in any circumstance, any role, any environment, no matter what the requirements are. Someone who is on the extremes of being a high S, being reserved and people focused, they're going to give a high S answer to every question. You know, for example, you know, a big project is coming up and, you know, we're missing our first deadline. Their focus is not on what needs to happen to make that deadline. Their focus is, how does everyone feel about the fact that we're just getting started and we're missing a deadline? How, you know, is anyone feeling demotivated? Is there, you know, are we going to have as much buy-in for this project as we go down? That's what they're focusing on, right? So they're going to give that sort of answer or communication. And if they're communicating that type of message to someone who is a high D, which is their opposite on the two axes, that's not going to come across well, right? The high D is going, whoa.
It's like, I don't care about anybody's feelings.
Yeah.
How are we going to get back onto time?
Yeah, they'll say, you know what will make people feel better? If we get back on track and get back on schedule, mm-hmm. right? Like, I don't care about how people feel. I care about what gets done. Exactly right.
But that doesn't mean that that high S can't communicate with that high D.
Yeah, and it doesn't mean either one of those is right or wrong. Mm-hmm. That's an important distinction here. And your point about even if you're a high S, you can say the words, mm-hmm. how are we going to get back on track?
Yes,
right? Absolutely. It doesn't matter if that's not what you feel like you would normally say. You can say those words.
And it doesn't matter if we give another example. If you know you're a high C and your colleague is a high I, it doesn't matter if you know those things, if you can't or you won't adapt to their style. And it doesn't take a lot. It's not like we're asking you to completely change your personality. We're really not. All you need to do as a high C is ask the high I, how was your weekend? And listen to the answer and maybe ask another question and then start work. And the high I's thinking, you really care about me. Mm-hmm. I'm important to you. I feel good about myself. I can tell you this story. And they're super happy. Now, the high C is probably thinking this is all irrelevant stuff. Mm-hmm. But the high I notices that the high C has asked that question and made them feel good. And that changes the tone of the rest of the conversation. Yeah. And the high C's thinking, you know, who cares if anybody likes me?
Right. For you high C's that hear that and go, gosh, it's not my job to make people feel good. Like, that's not important. Yeah, you're right. It's not. And your job is to be effective when you communicate. And if you start to talk about the project or the process or what's happening or what should be happening and what's not happening and getting into the weeds and getting into the details, but you started with, hey, here's what's going wrong and here's how we fix it. And that high I or high S is more people focused than you are, the fact that you didn't say, hey, how are you? How's it going? That's what they're thinking about while you're talking about all the stuff that you really want them to be listening to.
Does he not like me? Did I do something wrong?
Yeah.
Is he angry at me?
Right.
Why? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what's in their head.
You can accomplish what you want to accomplish by getting that initial feeling of, ooh, gosh, this person's so cold, out of their brain by just saying, hey, how was your weekend? Good one? Good. Okay, good. That's great to hear. Okay, so here's what's wrong. Here's what we need to fix, right? You can do that and be effective with your communication.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, high I's, yes, high C's do care about everything to two decimal places.
Oh, yeah.
Round numbers don't fly. It's weird.
Oh, yeah. We're going to talk about that. When you're talking to a high C, you can't say, you know, about 20%.
Yeah.
That's not going to fly.
Is it 20 or is it 20.1? It's important. But the good news is that being adaptable isn't difficult. The reason few people adapt their behaviors isn't because they can't. It's because they don't know how to. And we're going to talk about how to in the second part of this guidance. And there isn't anywhere near in here, there isn't anywhere near the depth that we go to in the MT Disc profile because it's written specifically for you. And it's not really the depth that you need to be really great at communicating with others, but it will give you some simple changes that you can make immediately that won't feel like a strain, as Andrew says, just starting a conversation with, hey, how was your weekend? And we'll take away some of the communication friction with others. And once, I tell you, once you've had a taste of the success that you get from this, you'll want every podcast and to come to the conference and to never stop talking about Empty Desk. So calling everybody who wants to be in Florida in March and needs a reason, Manager Tools is coming to Miami on the 4th and 5th of April with our Effective Manager and Effective Communicator Conference. It's the first time we've been to Miami. We're excited to be in your city, and we're excited to meet you and teach you how to be effective managers and effective communicators. To find out more, visit manager-tools.com. Look for training in the menu bar.
I think we should talk about authenticity for a minute. When I do conferences, I usually have folks who tend to be in one of two camps. Either the way that I communicate is right, or I should communicate in a way that I know is right. And in certain contexts, this is the right thing to be talking about. This is the right way to talk about it. And then I have a group who says, but I should just be authentic. I should communicate in my way so that everyone knows who I am. Mm-hmm. And there's this thing about authenticity. Like, there's nothing in our guidance toward adapting your behavior that suggests that you should be insincere or inauthentic, and certainly not unethical. We're not suggesting anything more than behaviors. And behaviors can be as simple as changing the speed at which you speak, right? The way that you choose your words when describing something or describing the approach that you take to a certain problem or issue. It's just a way to have a smoother, more effective conversation. It's certainly not in any way manipulation or dishonesty. We have other podcasts that kind of speak to our views on authenticity and ethics. And we've got some podcasts that we'll link to on the podcast page on our website for this podcast. But just, we got to talk about that. That's some Absolutely. People are really going to have some reservations around this.
Yeah. And we're not trying to persuade you that it's not manipulation. We're saying just changing the speed of the way you speak is not manipulation, right?
Right.
It can't be described that way. So, okay. So now some good news. You only need to think about two factors in order to know how to adapt. So when you get your empty disk profile, you'll have one or more letters, which represent your profile, the letters we've been talking about, and they represent the intersection between the two axes that we described. So your level of assertiveness and reservedness, and your level of affinity with working with others. In order to adapt your style, you don't need to know where somebody else intersects. You don't have to know the quadrant, the specific letter. All you need to know is which end of the axes they fall on. Mm-hmm. So if you can tell whether they're assertive or reserved, and if you can tell whether they're task-focused or people-focused, that's all you need to know. You don't need to know, oh, they're an I or they're a DI or whatever. Those specifics you don't need.
No, in fact, I tell groups, don't try to do that. It's a simple tool. It's a simple rubric, but I don't even want people leaving thinking that way. I want them to just look at behaviors, right? If they can see behaviors, then assess, is that a more assertive behavior? Or is that a more reserved behavior? Is that a more task-focused behavior? Or is that a more people-focused behavior? And I think that assertiveness versus reservedness, once you see some of the behaviors, once you think about things in this way, I think assertiveness versus reservedness is usually easier to ascertain.
Yes, me too.
Especially if you can see and hear the person, you can gauge assertiveness pretty quickly. In writing, it might be the other way around. You can see task versus people more clearly. Assertiveness versus reservedness, say that, is a little more masked by the medium. Because
yes,
if it's a short email, you may think, oh, that's really assertive. But emails are supposed to be short. So
yes.
Maybe not.
Yeah, exactly. You can't see smiling.
Yeah. So we see different behaviors in reserved people versus assertive people, and different behaviors in task people, in task-focused people versus people-focused people. What you'll see is in 75% of cases, you'll have a point in common on at least one of the axes. So for example, if you're a high D, you're assertive and task-focused. A high I is also assertive and people-focused. So when you're adapting, you don't need to think about assertive versus reserved behaviors because you're naturally assertive and they're naturally assertive. So the assertiveness is there. You'll be in harmony there. What you need to think about is adapting from your task-focused tendency to more people-focused behaviors. And we're going to talk about that.
I like this because it just makes things easier. Like if all you have to do is change one of the axes, like,
oh, yeah.
As long as the person isn't opposite you, it's easier. Mm-hmm. And the last piece of good news, which I think I say in every MT Disc cast, but I'm going to say it again because we are communicating with people all day long. And there are so many opportunities to practice. You can get quicker and find this more natural and find it, you know, like when you drive a car and you don't have to think how to do it, you just do it. You can make it like that because you practice all of the time. And, you know, if you don't want to practice on the people that see you every day, practice on the people that, you know, in the stores where you go, or, you know, if you go out, or practice on the TV and watch the people in the shows and see if you can work out what their behaviors are and how you would adapt to them. The communication behaviors of all of the styles and of all people can be divided into three groups: visual, verbal, and vocal. And in the next class, we're going to give you the differences in behavior and some simple adaptations for each axis in those three groups. And we're going to encourage you to look at your MT Disc profile and our effective relationship series and the effective communicator conference if you want to go in deep. And it would be great if between now and the next podcast, you got your own MT Disc profile, because that will be super helpful in knowing which of the recommendations we're going to make count for you. But we'll be back next week with that.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.